Well, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. We're so glad that you could join us this morning as we gather together as the church. We are the church, whether we're in the same building or whether we're watching in bed, we are the gathered church. And thank you for taking the time, either watching live or later in the week. I pray that God will bless you this morning as we gather as church community. If you have any prayer requests, I know it's sometimes difficult writing in the comments or putting things up. They tend to be very general, but that's okay. If there's anything you'd like us to pray about towards the end of our service, then please do put something in the comments. Today at 2 o'clock, we're having something called the Church Community Conference, an opportunity for us to come together to reflect, to listen to one another, to learn together. And that's from 2 o'clock till 4:30 this afternoon. We're really confident that we can stick to the time, so we'll be very strict on making sure that we don't go over. But let's encourage one another and have that few hours together. It's not too late to book in. We've got about 35, 36 people already booked in plus. So if you would still, please just email Maxine at the church office even at this late time and she'll send you the link and then we can gather together and learn from each other this afternoon. As we're meeting this afternoon, we're not going to have our Sunday prayer time together this evening, so Bismarck gets a week off. Thank you, Bismarck. But do please join coffee and chat after the service. Thank you, Lou, for hosting that time with us. We're going to hand over to Sarah, who's going to start our sung worship.
Before it now, it reverence.
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Hello everyone. We've been playing a new game this morning. It's good fun. I wonder if you've ever played this game. We have three cups. They're yogurt pots. Yes, they are. But any containers would be fine. You could use cups or plant pots or boxes. But they all need to be the same size and the same colour and not transparent. That means you can't see through them. And then you put a small object under one of them. And we've used a dice. You shuffle them round, and then the other person has to guess which one the dice is under. You want me to shuffle and you will guess. Okay, here goes. You think I should shuffle them faster than that? Well, in an ideal world, I would. But it's really difficult to shuffle with one hand. Why don't I use both hands? Because one of my hands is controlling you. Let's do some more shuffling. You can guess now. Were you watching carefully? Were you watching at home? Which cup is the dice under? You think this one? What do you think? Do you think Clive is right? Let's have a look. Yes! You were right! Well done! Did you guess correctly? It's a good game. It's fun. Yes, and we'll play again in a little while. But I'd like to use these cups as an illustration. Each one is a compartment. And often we compartmentalise our lives. That's a big word. Yes, and it's difficult to say. What does it mean? Well, we often section our lives off into different parts. So we could say that this one is church, and it's where we worship God and learn more about him and pray. And it's also where we connect with all our church friends and talk about Jesus. Exactly. And this one is our work life or college or school. And it's the part of our lives where we might be really busy working or studying hard and learning lots of new things. And it's where we connect with all our work colleagues and our school friends. What about that one? Well, this one might represent our social life. We don't have much of that at the moment. Well, maybe not. But it's the part of our lives where we do leisure activities, our hobbies such as sport or gaming or baking or art or music. The things we do for fun. Yes, I suppose so. And it's where we connect with the people who enjoy doing the same things. But you see, when we separate our lives into different compartments, we sometimes leave God in the church. Like the dice in the pot. Yes. And we forget that he is equally in every part of our lives. He is in what we do at work. Or school. And he is in our leisure activities. And in all these places, we can worship God and pray and talk about Jesus. And everything we do, wherever we are, can all be done with him. Because he is everywhere, yes. And because he is interested in every part of our lives. So everything we can do for God. That's right. Even when we're playing this game, yes. He's very welcome to play with us, but you think he should just watch. And why is that? Because if he knows everything, he will always know which cup the dice is under. And you'd like to play with just one dice, or it spoils the fun. Okay, we'll put these ones aside. It's your turn to shuffle. Okay, but we'll say goodbye first. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognised.
Yeah, good.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
Whatever we do, the work of our hands, however small and insignificant it might seem, matters deeply to God. It's part of our worship and how we serve others and bear witness to who God is. There can be kingdom significance in our daily tasks and activities, however great or small they may be. Paul's letter to the Colossians describes the kind of community God was calling them to be. But he makes it clear that this was not an inward focused. Their daily lives were to be marked by love, kindness, compassion in their places of work and activity and in their relationships. 2,000 years on, the social conditions assumed in the passage aren't the same social conditions that most of us face today. However, the principle that flow from it are as applicable now as much as then. Commitment to Jesus as Lord is to be worked out in our daily life, in our relationships with others, and bound up in our service of Jesus himself.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 24. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to carry their favour, but with the sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Well, thank you, Colin, for reading our scripture to us this morning. This is week three of Frontline Sundays, and we're going to be thinking about wherever we find ourselves, wherever that may be. The reality is, most of us are not in this building very often, even in normal times, maybe an hour or two during the week. As we think of this passage, it's with some trepidation because many reading it today would find the language or the reality really challenging. But who was reading this letter when it was written? Many, I think, probably would have been slaves or household servants, those who were dealing with the realities of Roman occupation, realities of being the least, the last, and the lost. In many ways, these slaves and people kept the Roman economy going. They often would have very little control over their lives, the audience that was being written to. I think it would have been tempting for those in the reality of slavery to think that their tasks were insignificant. Paul's encouragement to them offered them a new way of seeing that their daily task mattered, even though it was a really difficult situation. Some Christians today still feel that their task may be important, but that ultimately they don't really matter to God. We think we've got good things to do, but God really is not that interested in the physical or the tasks that we face. We can live as if there's this divide. We've talked about it, hasn't it? There's some things that are sacred and of God, other things that are secular and not of God and in some way bad. This passage destroys that dichotomy. Paul will have none of it. It's no separation between the two. But I just want to reference the language that's used, and many outside the church would read this and balk at some of the language, and maybe you have this morning. There's no easy way of understanding it. But it might help us is if we looked around Paul's world just for a few minutes. Looked around what he saw. And I think when he looked around his world, he saw and thought about examples about how people could honor God in their everyday, in the everything that they do. So the obvious would be those who were in families and those who were enslaved. There might have been other examples, but these are the ones that he chose. I don't think it was with joy that Paul looked around and saw slavery happening around him. I don't think it was with joy that he encouraged those slaves to obey their masters. I think there would be something else behind what he's saying. If you understand slavery in the Bible, certainly in the Old Testament, it had deeply affected the Jewish nation. They should have had nothing to do with it again, although it crept in, and then by Jesus' time we had Roman occupation and slavery was still around. Paul looked around, saw the situations that people were in that encouraged them to do the very best for God with that reality. Our world is more complicated. Some examples. How can a child obey their parents when their family is separated and they now have step-parents? Saying just obey them when one is saying one thing and the other is saying something else. Life is a little bit more complicated. The same goes for marriages. Many marriages I see are a little bit more enlightened than what Paul saw when he looked around, where real mutuality can be achieved without using military language. The principle, though, of whatever we do, doing it for God, is very real and alive today, and that is ultimately the point that Paul is trying to make. Who submits to who really isn't the point. I'm aware that we might not all agree on this, and we might have different opinions. This is how I understand the passage in Scripture. I'm more than happy to debate it at some point. Paul was not trying to make slaves of women and children, but rather help them in their current situation that probably from Paul's eyes and others' eyes felt like you could not change it because it was too big and it was too much of their mindset and their social reality. If he was around today, I suspect Paul might say, everyone should obey social distance rules. This way that we'll all stay well and honor God. I think that would be something that he would come up with. Obey the rules because we'll stay safe if we do. It'll be very relevant today, but hopefully not very relevant in a couple of years' time. If we were reading that again, we'd be like, what are you talking about? It may be significant then that this clause, whatever you do, is repeated again in Colossians 3. It comes in the first time in 3:17, where the context seems to be the whatever will be in a worship context later from verse 15, refers to the body of Christ. Verse 16 refers to the word of Christ and the songs that we are to sing together. But Paul repeats the idea in 3:23, where the context is everything that we do, everyday working context that a household slave found themselves in. Whatever you do, whether it's in the gathered worship or the scattered everyday life, it all matters to God. Wherever we go matters to God. And that ultimately leads us to do all in the name of Jesus. When we do something in the name of Christ, we are acting as Jesus' representative. We are his ambassadors in this world. So I can parent my children, or I can be a friend in Jesus' name. I can run my business. I can price a job as if I am doing it as Jesus. I can plumb a sink in. Steve, I was thinking of you when I was reading that. I can plumb a sink in Jesus' name. I can coach that team in Jesus' name. I can be patient in Jesus' name as I do my caring job or work in a supermarket or work at on Zoom. I can do it in Jesus' name. It's not separate. It's not something that we just keep and save till Sunday morning. We are called to be Christ's ambassadors, to represent him in what we do and what we say. What does it mean for us or for you to do your daily tasks in Jesus' name? Maybe those are more limited than they previously were. We do it in Jesus' name, and we do it with all our heart. I wonder, as we're still in lockdown, coming up nearly to a year, I was looking back on the Facebook stream, and the first one we did was the 22nd of March. A couple of months' time, we would have been doing this for a whole year. I wonder, in that time, have we thought that some of the tasks we've done are insignificant, or God's not interested in them? We read here that Paul subverts this slave-master relationship by helping slaves see that they are actually working for God, not just their owners. As they work with all their hearts, it's part of their worship and their serving the Lord. We are not slaves today, but whatever we do, we can do it as if we're serving God. I wonder what sort of actions or words will make this true in our lives, in the life of our neighborhood, our workplace, our school, our sports club. I wonder how that impacts you personally. I think too many of us think that our practical daily lives are second class. There is no disconnect. Just like Diana talked through the cups, God is in our gathered church, God is in our businesses, God is in our workplace, God is in our families. Can't separate him out. We can't parcel him up into a little 5-minute quiet time every morning. He is interested, involved in everything that we do. And encourage us to live lives and practically live lives that demonstrate that Jesus is in everything that we do. in the illness, in the joys, in the celebrations, in the disappointments, in the hard graft, in the boredom. God plays a role in our lives, not just to be bought out at grace or meal times, not just to be bought out when we feel we should open our Bibles, but every single moment of every day, whatever we do. I wonder, could we get to an understanding where that's true in our lives? Well, we're going to hand back to Sarah, who's going to close our time of worship. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. I'm going to close our time by just gathering in some of the prayers that have been on the comments, but also things that I know have been happening this week. So let us pray. Our Lord God, we pray for Eliza Hillard, who Penny has mentioned, who had a brain tumor removed. Pray for her and her mum in these difficult times. Thank you for both Penny and Diana's connection with all these young families in our villages around here. Lord God, we pray for Jeff, as he returns home in the next couple of days to be with Roy in their house in Shelford. We pray that you would give him good care, that he would get the support and the encouragement that he needs. We pray for Caroline Stout as she's likely to be moved to a care home in the coming days. I pray for peace of mind for her, and I pray that you would protect her, and Lord God, that we might see her again soon. Lord God, for our fellowship, for the needs that won't ever get mentioned on a text or in a comment box, for those who struggle to share, I pray that you would speak and bless us in our circumstances. In sickness and in health, I pray that we would know your love, your grace, and your care. Lord, as we scatter to our frontline places, we thank you for the many opportunities to be God in our world. Whatever the tasks of our week, whatever, wherever we are, we pray that we will work through them and we will bear fruit for your kingdom. May we do all the things attentive to your presence and with a heart set on working at them for you, first and foremost. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining us. Be encouraged. Let's spur each other on. Let's encourage one another. And let's acknowledge that we are loved and that our lives matter to God. Whether we think we are active or inactive, our time and our ability to love God is not dependent on lockdown or tier 4 or tier 3. It's dependent on knowing God in our heart. I pray a blessing on you. Thank you for joining us, and God bless.